The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. Father, we give glory to your name. I adore you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because you are full of mercy. I exalt your name, O God Almighty, today. I thank you, God Almighty, for this conference, this gathering that is unto you. Thank you for all you have done since this gathering started. Thank you, God Almighty, for all the ministers, all your men, your servants you have used to minister to your people. Thank you for all the blessings that have come down. Thank you for your interest in this gathering. I exalt your name, O God Almighty, because you have stayed in this gathering to bless. I thank you, Father. Thank you for mercy tonight. Thank you for help that you have sent. Thank you for your angel that you have sent. I recognize and appreciate that angel tonight. I thank you, God Almighty, because you help me even to yield even to the angel's leading and participate and cooperate with that angel tonight in the name of Jesus to bring a blessing to your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for this year's theme. You see, God has brought us this far. But one thing that kept coming to my heart is the fact that God is doing something in our midst. Is declaring so much. And the reason for that declaration, because he wants to raise witness lasting life in the days of our flesh. In our days, God does not talk anyhow. He does not talk without an intention. All the things that he's saying, I want us to know that God wants to raise witnesses, people who will embody his life here on earth. He has done it before. Shall you understand? He did it before. You know, different allocations has been coming to us since we got born again. And one thing I discovered is that every allocation raised men to bear witness to that allocation. I was just looking back and looked at the time of milk. That was the allocation of the Holy Ghost. Milk was preached so much all over the earth that men were raised, witnesses of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost men were raised by that allocation. You see some of them, they look like wonders. You know, before us then, we didn't even know that there was more. We thought that was the end of the gospel because these men were powerful. You look at people like Kenneth Copeland, who bore witness to that allocation of faith towards God. They embodied it. They gave themselves to it. They were with where they stood as evidence of that allocation. You know, people like Copeland will say when when they were so sure, they drank that thing so much that Copeland said once, he said, when he's 80, he wants to impregnate his wife, who will also be around 80 then. Shall you understand? he said he wants to impregnate. They were not thinking of death just because of that allocation. They gave themselves wholly to it and they rose. So you say, when he's 80, he wants to impregnate Gloria to break those laws of nature just with faith towards God. Shall you understand? So we saw men rise, Holy Ghost men, powerful men who stood, you know, stood their ground for the word of God. Not knowing, we didn't know that there was more. Until we got to a place and we started asking, is this all there is? Is this all there is? Is this all there is? And then the allocation of Christ began to come. And began to work. God was pouring word. He was giving spirit. He was giving word. He was giving spirit. And all of a sudden, we saw men began to change. Men began to change. Men began to change. Men began to change. Men began to arise. People began to change. People began to... We now began to see that that allocation of milk was had limitations. Even though people did mighty works with milk, Abba, people did mighty works. Mighty works, built mighty ministries with milk. But we discovered that it had limitation. It could not achieve God's intention. Purpose of the gospel, milk could not achieve it. But that milk is necessary, very necessary. You know, when we talk about milk, you think I believe, I receive. I claim your shirt, I claim your skirt. That is not milk. That's not proper milk. Milk has its own kind of separation. Milk was able to raise, you know, I've always known that milk has separation because I know, I took milk very well. I'm not ashamed of it. I thank God every day that I took milk very well. Ah, Kilode, emu milk you, entoba need the milk. I'm not ashamed of it. Because I see, oh my yole, when a believer did not feed properly. Not, you know, when we say milk, it's not I believe I receive. Milk has its own discipline, has its own separation. Because Holy Ghost is involved in that allocation. Holy Ghost is the one that administers it. And there is a spirit in it. It's not just one flat thing. It raises some kind of persons. You know, it took Reverend to come and show us people that milk allocation raised in the days of the Acts of Apostles. That when they were calling them, it was milk the apostles were teaching them. But when they wanted to choose men, he said, choose among ye men of what? Honest report. Milk lo se se yen o. Honest report. Not magic. When I see believers do magomago, I just wonder. Kilo nche won. Won mu milk dada. Won we ma so yo. No believer ma so yo. Oh yeah, your monle. You know, sly. I know this one didn't take milk well. Honest report. Look at it. He said, Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of what? In the midst of milk. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost. It is the allocation of milk. When you cooperate with those teachings and leadings of the Holy Ghost, you will be full of it. You know, when we got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, we were just filled. It takes some activities, some cooperation with the Holy Ghost for you to be full of the Holy Ghost. You don't just get full of the Holy Ghost. You must have participated in the leading and the guiding of the Holy Ghost. So those days, those of us who are sitting here, we were all partakers of that thing. To be ghosted. We used to be ghosted. Ghosted. If you are not ghosted, you cannot take some decisions. You cannot do some things. It is allocation of milk that brought that ghosting. Because the Holy Ghost will teach you repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptisms. He will not just teach you. He will cause you to walk in them. He will lead you. And when the Holy Ghost leads you and leads you, he will fill you up. Participation in the allocation that is being given per time. That is where we get the benefit. Full of the Holy Ghost, yes, and wisdom. That's wisdom. This is before the teaching of Christ, because it was Paul that brought the teaching of Christ. So there is the wisdom that the Holy Ghost can also give you at that level. At that level. Wisdom. Wisdom. I was saying when I took my the brother to Mama, what informed me like that? His wisdom of the Holy Ghost. The Lord had already told me I don't have a hand in it. And the brother was special, brought out his paper and said, see the day, the time that the Lord told me you are my wife. And you know, so many things were at play. I'd finished law school. I was doing my service. And immediately I finished, my mother told me, oh, that he try you. Mrs. Ilodefe, go and bring a husband home. Say, you know that kind of pressure. And this guy came, and then she, you understand, he was falling into the kind of, you know. But to take that decision, you need some kind of ghost. You need some kind of ghost to turn your back on what you have been waiting for, on the expectation of everybody. You don't just do that out of zeal. You don't just do that. You see, people in those days of milk, people were taking some kind of decisions to follow God in spite of what the society. Some people will be thrown out of their houses. They will maintain. Some parents will disown their children. They will maintain. Why? There was an allocation there that helped the heart to stay. It is power. It's not determination, it's power. And that power comes from the teachings of that time. Hallelujah. It's very good. Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. Can you imagine? See the qualification to serve tables. Full of the Holy Ghost. These days, we need men full of the Holy Ghost to serve tables. So there is no fight, because there's always fight around tables. My meat is small. My fish is small. My this one. When you are ghosted, you won't have such problems. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 What am I trying to say? God's intention for bringing the gospel is to raise men from the dust, from where we fell to. Somebody took us down, broke us down to the dust. Somebody broke us down to the dust. When we were coming, you were preaching, say, "Cause hey, no more." The devil did it. An enemy did it. An enemy broke down the structure of man. What makes man to be man was broken down to pieces. To dust. So that you cannot look at a man and say, this is a man. He has been eaten up. And who ate him up? A life was introduced to him that he cooperated with, and he was broken down. Which life? Whose life? The life in the devil. The life in a cherubim that turned. He was made, when he was made, Bible says he was perfect in all his ways. Perfect in all, full of, is perfect, give me. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou were created till iniquity was found in thee. He was created perfect. He was created a being of beauty. God put substances. He used things to make him beautiful. He woke up to see himself like that, a cherubim. Beautiful, perfect. Hallelujah. But he turned. He turned everything. The Bible says he corrupted his wisdom. He turned everything on his inside. He corrupted it. And everything that he became another person, another being, with a corrupted life on his inside. And he came and fell on men. And taught men. You know, the Bible says he was perfect in all his ways. Now, when he turned, his ways were corrupted. And he came to Adam and deceived Adam. He deceived Adam. He didn't just deceive Adam. They drove Adam out of the garden. Adam gave birth to children. He went after the children of Adam and taught them his corrupted ways. You know, way, you cannot separate way from life. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. The end of it is what? His destruction. So he taught man the path of destruction. As man walked in the ways that he was teaching them, they were being ruined. Ruined on the inside. Because what makes a man is not the outside. It is the inside. What God put in Adam, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils and man became what? A living soul. There is something responsible for that living soul. The breath of God. And sin ate it up. The ways that Satan taught man ate up everything that constituted man. Until man became dust. By the time Jesus Christ was coming, the Bible says when we were without strength, who took away their strength? Another life. Another life took away their strength. Bible talk calls the devil, he, you, who weakens the nations. How did he weaken the nations? He taught them ways. He taught them another life. Different from the life that God ordained for man to live by. He taught them another life. And man began to obey that way. You know, man, let's thank God for the gospel. The gospel is restoring back another way for us that will take us to life. Thank God for the gospel. Because if the gospel is not preached to you, you won't know what is good. You won't know what is good from what is evil. You will just be doing things the way, and then civilization, that's another way of death. What people call civilization? Ikuni. Civilization has come to turn everything upside down. And man has bought into it. A devil, a being deceived man to tell them this is the way. Walk ye in it. So he came and fell on man with everything that he has. Taught man how to die. Taught man how to be destroyed. But Jesus came and said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he came to do. It's not to steal your car. It's not to steal your phone. That's not the kind of thief. A thief that steals your phone and leaves your life intact is not a thief. If they steal your phone and they leave your life intact, the thief, how does he steal? He steals by teaching you another way. He steals by teaching you another kind of life, showing you another kind of life, different from the life that God ordained man to live by. And he will so convince you that you will believe him, and then you can even begin to curse God, to say, this God does not like us. That's the real thief. Because he taught man the way. Look at Genesis chapter 6. How man turned. Give me Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass. From verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Yes. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. These daughters of men, who do you think produced them? Who produced daughters of men? The enemy produced them. How does he produce people? He produces by teaching. By teaching them a way of life that they will walk in and they will become ordinary and mere men. Say they call them daughters of men. How does God raise his men? These sons of men, of God. How does he teaches them a way, a path to walk in. They walk in it and become sons. They become raised. Hallelujah. So these daughters of men, they are flat women. Ordinary women. May I thank God for what you were saying. That the promise, the inheritance, belongs to both women and to men. God wants women and men to be raised. These daughters of men, they are supposed to be raised also to be daughters of God. Women, they invited me to come and minister in a conference where people with big CV only minister. God just managed to smuggle me into that. Because, hey, if you see the profile of women that minister there, captains of industries. They have profile. When they read their profile, fear will grip you. And me, I don't have too much profile. Do you understand? My profile is that I'm the wife of Reverend K. In that kind of circle, the kind of profile I have does not fit in there at all. And the topic they gave us to come and talk about is Deborah. And the intention they had in their heart that women should arise and become something. Women should arise and become captains of industry. Women should arise and stand up in the marketplace. Women should arise. So when I went there, me, I went with a message from the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost decked me that day. Kai, I was ghosted, I was anointed. I said, Deborah, number one, they said she was a prophetess. You don't become a prophetess living anyhow, slapping your leg, and walking anyhow. I said, that woman has been raised by God. When you tell a carnal woman to arise and become something, Kilomada, mother of carnality. Arise and take over the capital, the industry. I said, a carnal woman, God is not interested in a carnal woman arising anyhow. He wants to raise you to be spiritual first. For you, before you can arise and be doing something, be built. Be built. So I said, the building that you need now is that Christ should build you up. Become spiritual. God is calling women to be spiritually, not to become a captain of industry. You can do that, but that is not what the world is looking for. Captains of industries are miserable. Have you come across them? I've come across them. They are so fearful. They are miserable. They are desperate. They are unnecessarily ambitious. When a woman becomes ambitious, she's to be feared more than a man. Woman, if a woman handles something, begin to fear her. If a woman becomes ambitious, fear her. She's more dangerous than a man. I don't know what God put inside a woman. Don't stir her up anyhow. Don't stir up a woman up anyhow. She will get the job done more than the man. A woman feels the husband should be president of the nation. He will just tell the man, sit down. I will get the job done. You yourself, you will fear her by the time she brings results and crown you. Tell you, Ishati Pari, sit down. Take the throne. That's why a woman should be built. Building, you should become spiritual. Become what? Spiritual. And there's no way you can become spiritual if you don't learn Christ and do Christ. The building. So I said, Christ can be learned. I said, Christ can be learned. And it is time to go back. Holy Ghost just collected it from my mouth. Tongues and interpretation. It is time to go back to school, back to school, back to school. Everywhere scattered. I was supposed to minister the following day. They called me. They said, there's no need to come again.
Mufoshe. But the one I said that day, he cannot depart. I said, Christ can be learned. Every woman can learn Christ. Every woman can be spiritual. You can't be of help to anywhere, any nation, any house, any institution as a woman without being built, decked with Christ. So what am I saying? God is in the process of reconstructing. He's in the process of repairing. You know, like Reverend was saying, the gospel is all about repair. Repair what Satan has broken down. And they repair us with life. Hallelujah. The gospel wants to repair us. They take us from the dust. They feed us with milk, allocation of milk. We bring some level of sanctification, separation to you, separation that will make you able to take Christ. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he what? Make to understand doctrine. Hallelujah. So they bring in the doctrine of Christ to those who have been weaned from breast, weaned from milk, drawn from breast. They teach us. And there was a time that the teaching, even the teaching of Christ now, when we teach it now, we teach it better than that time. Because there is a higher allocation, we can now see it. But that teaching, we taught Christ for almost 20 years. Because to take a man from flesh to become spiritual, isheni, and spiritual we must become. God is trying to recall. It was Satan that beat men back down to flesh. That Genesis chapter 6 that we're reading. He said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man because he has become what? He has become what? When he was created, he was not created flesh. One was made a living soul. Adam was made a living soul, an everlasting man. If sin didn't come, he wouldn't have died. It was sin that came to corrupt his system. System is called Daruni. Sin came, and death followed sin. And man began to die. He became not just physically, because even with that death in the garden, he still was able to live for like 1,000 years. It took time for sin to expire the strength on his inside. Because when God kitted him, he put something inside him that would not make him destructible easily. He said, but man, by Genesis chapter 6, they have worked very well by that life of Satan that came into them. And they had become flesh. Man was not flesh. They became flesh. They have become. He said, that is why when the flood came, flood could carry him. Adam in the garden, no amount of flood would have been able to drown Adam. No amount. He was king over everything created. Over waters. Flesh, no amount of flood would have been able to, but his nutrient, by chapter 6, had been taken. Who took it? Satan, the enemy. He stole his essence. How did he steal his essence? He taught him another way. He taught him another way, and he was working, was cooperating with that way. He was working. God did everything to stop Cain. From going the way of Satan. It warned him. He said, sin light at your door. Man, Lobai, don't go this way. But the devil was after him. He was after God's pleasure. Because man was made to bring pleasure to God. He was after God's pleasure. So you know all the things that God put, the breath that God put inside him. He ate it up. How did he eat it? Ways. He taught him another way, another lifestyle. A man cooperated. He cooperated and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked until he became flesh. By the time Jesus came, man was no longer flesh. Man had become dust. Because he had journeyed far. See, when we were without strength, dust has no strength. That's why it can't stay together. It takes strength for dust to be together. It had been eaten, broken. Could the sin cause of it dead you in rain? Walk. As he was walking, he was being destroyed. So you see the effect of that destruction. If I by now, man is no, I don't know what man has reduced to. Because when we were still growing, we can say man was dust. But these days, man will go to koja dust, you. Ashes. Because those works have increased on earth. Ways of death have increased on earth. You now see a man get up and say, I feel like I'm a woman. Therefore, I am a woman. It's lower than dust. I feel like a dog. I feel like marrying a dog. They showed the picture of a couple who were getting married. And the parents came to celebrate with them. Two men. They now interviewed the mother. They said, I'm so glad that he finally got the love of his life. He's doing what he likes to do best. The mother. Cherry Queen, you know, she does, Timo. What is Jem Mudumudu? All the things, the forces that God put there to make him sane, he's no longer sane, not mad. And my husband said, "Ibaje." A sister was telling me she works in a hospital. That one, they see evil. They had one man on admission. And he was, you know, behaving normally and everything. Until the husband came. And he just turned. Just like crying. He said, sorry, darling. And asked me how old they were. They are in their 80s. And you know what? They are trying to make it lawful. They are trying to legalize it and make righteousness illegal. Because Satan is not done with finishing man. He's not done. They are trying to legalize evil and make righteousness illegal. You see the way you are saying, abroad, Pastor Parks is saying, if you do that abroad, you are wrong. Am I lying? You see two men kissing themselves. They say, you are homophobic. You are wrong. You know what he wants to do? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. No other agenda. To destroy. And he's bent on destroying. And he's convinced, that's how he weakens nations. He will teach them perverted ways, corrupted lifestyle, and make it a norm. No, he will not tell them that if you go this way, Omar Kunio said, this is liberty for you, freedom. Freedom, just be yourself. Be yourself. Death. But Jesus said, I am come. That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And you know, the Bible now calls life, that life, abundant life, which is everlasting life. He calls it our inheritance. It is our birthright. It is your inheritance. God has called you to come and inherit the very life that he has. And that is the antidote to the stealing, the killing, and the destruction of Satan. So you see, church, we don't have an option but for to go for the life that God is offering us. The reason we got born again is to inherit the life that is in God. Hallelujah! Is to inherit that life that they are offering us. It is the offering of the real thing that Satan, much more than what even Satan stole, that is what they are offering us by the gospel. He said, God, life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel. So the gospel is not just to get us born again. The gospel is meant to commit life and immortality to us. That is the package of the gospel. So we go born again to embark on a journey of inheriting the life of God. And that life, you can't inherit it at once, because it is the life of God, it's not the life of man. And man has been beaten down so much that he can't just take the life of God like that. Because to take the life of God, it involves teaching. It involves schooling. It involves dealings. It involves leadings. It involves doing. Doing things contrary to what we have learned. Doing things contrary to the way that we have learned. When Christ comes to us, Christ comes against what raised us. Worldly standards. Christ is raised to destroy carnality. Is a solution to carnality. Christ is a solution. He was raised. Bible says he was raised for sin. He was sent for sin. For sin. We were raised by sin. Romans chapter 8. We were raised by principles of sin, laws of sin and death. So we all inherited sin from learning, conversations. Bible says you are not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. They didn't write it on the blackboard for you to say this is the way to live and become vain. No, you met it Adayeba. We met it on earth. Those conversations. And what brought about the conversation? Somebody blinded us. Blindness created a conversation that ends in vanity, that ends in death. Like the Bible says, that's Ephesians. It said that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, is the work of Satan. Spirits did that. Having the understanding what? Darkened. Being. Are you seeing? The more the darkness, the more the alienation. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who are responsible for these things? Spirits brought darkened understanding, brought dark blindness of the heart, ignorance. Bible calls the devil the anointed cherub that covered human beings, covered their hearts, covered their souls, alienated them from the life of God. So for the life of God to be restored back to man, understanding must be enlightened. Understanding must be enlightened. So that's why when they bring us to Christ, after we have been weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. So you see, their eyes were darkened. And because of darkened understanding, there was a way they were walking. There was a way they were living. There was a way they were living. So living is tied to eyes. Living is tied to what? Eyes. That's why you cannot overemphasize the fact that eyes of understanding must be enlightened. What you see is what you live for. What you see, what you understand, what you perceive as life is what you will live for. What we make believers carnal and earthbound is because of what they are seeing. When eyes are being opened and we are beginning to appreciate hope, you will see that living will be different. We will live differently. Hallelujah. So the gospel is coming. The gospel of Christ comes to open our eyes of understanding. He said, so that you might know the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. You don't know hope until your eyes of understanding are what? Enlightened. So you can be a believer for many years and you will be living below the expectation of the gospel. You can be a Christian for the rest of your life. If that light does not shine, if the light of the gospel of Christ does not shine on you, you will not know much. And then you will live life on the earth and be an earthly being. Earthbound. When God wants to show you mercy, he will bring you light of Christ. So I was saying that from carnality, they introduced Christ to us to win us from carnality, to make us spiritual. Because you need to be spiritual first before you can take everlasting life. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. You must be spiritual first before you can take everlasting life. A carnal person cannot take everlasting life because everlasting life has its ways, has its laws, has judgment that a carnal man cannot receive. The judgments are high. It is a realm of high thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You see, when God is even come himself, he's coming with ways. Satan has his ways. He corrupted his own ways. Which means Satan had ways that he was working in before. God set that way so by reason of the way he was made. He said, you corrupted your ways. So God also has ways. So he introduces us to the way, the first way. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. You know what Christ does to us? Christ raises us from the dust, from flesh, by doing what to us? By removing in us, detonating laws that made us flesh. Romans chapter 8. That is what, you know what I'm saying? That God is, all these things that we are saying, is that men should embody these things. We can embody everlasting life. We can become it. We can inherit it. And God wants, the reason this meeting is set, was organized, is to make us know that it is possible and that God indeed wants it. He said he doesn't speak words. He said his words will not return to him void. But it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. The words that have been coming down in this message from Monday, they will not return back to God void. God has a reason for sending all these words. God has a reason for this, all these, you know, revelations, understandings. God has a reason for them. He's going to produce. He's going to produce men, everlasting men, that will overcome. And then they will, Jesus said, they that overcome, I will give them what? The morning star. To overcome, you must finish the course of everlasting life. It is everlasting life that we used to overcome. Hallelujah. If you don't do everlasting life and finish it, you are not an overcomer. What do you use of everlasting life to overcome? You overcome the life of hell and death that man, that Satan gave to us as life. Hell and death. Christ will help you to defeat the law of sin and death. the law of sin and death. So Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are where? To them which are in Christ Jesus, who do what? Who do what? Who walk not. After what? Where, how were we walking before? After the flesh. So Christ comes to take us from the way of flesh that we were born with, we were framed by. We were used to it. We walked after the flesh, we became flesh. We walk in flesh, we live in flesh, we have our being in flesh. What is flesh? It's a kind of a life. It's a lifestyle. It's a life that Satan taught man to live by. And as long as you live that like that, Bible says you will die. If you live after the flesh, what will happen? You die. But if you through the spirit mortify the deeds of the body. Now you cannot mortify the deeds of the body if you have not been taught the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That is what we will use to come out of flesh. You obey a law. That law is the law that framed Christ. Christ is a framing of laws. So God wants to frame us also. You see, that our framing is our raising. It's our building. When you are being framed, you are being built. And you are framed when you walk. You walk contrary to the law that framed you. That law will be weakened. That law will be erased. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Are you seeing that thing? Sin and death. If you live after the flesh, you will what? Die. So it's very easy to die. Just live after the flesh. And he was writing this to believers. That you can be a believer, you can live after the flesh. And do you know what? We don't even know what flesh work is until Christ is revealed. You don't know what flesh is. It takes the revelation of Christ to make you know and let the way flesh lay, flesh lay. Those motions, they come and we are used to yielding to them. Thoughts of flesh, they rise. Before you know, you have yielded to it. It's life that we have been used to. But when Christ comes, they begin to check you. When the revelation of Christ begins to come, they begin to check you. They begin to, the knowledge, understanding of those laws, they will make you know when flesh is at play. A lot of times we have yielded to flesh. It's spontaneous with us. Flesh is spontaneous. But revelation of Christ, understand, that's why everybody, he said, you have not so learnt Christ. I said, Christ can be learnt. You have not so learnt Christ. If so be that you have heard him. We need to hear him and be taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Every man, everybody, thank God for our mommy. She has said, when we say these things, women, thank God that women are beginning to hear now. Those days when you are talking this, the law of sin and death, if you live, women are not particular about that. They want you to tell them about how to get a man, how to get a boyfriend, how to get the right man. No, 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 no. Everybody must come out of flesh. Woman, man, you must become spiritual. Woman, you can be spiritual. Man, it takes a spiritual woman to uphold a home. That's the least requirement for marriage. Spirituality. To be spiritual, not to think as a carnal woman, not to act and react as a carnal woman. It takes learning. It takes learning. It takes tutelage by the Spirit of Christ to teach a woman out of carnality, to teach a woman out of vanity. God is a raising. Christ, allocation, brings a kind of raising. A raising, and is an acquisition of life that is in Christ. Give me Colossians chapter 2. Building. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What do you do? Are you seeing something? Are you seeing something? So do what? Walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. Colon. The next one. What does that walk do? Rooted. And what? Built up. Are you seeing? Are you seeing? Rooted and what? So there is a building up when you are obeying the laws of Christ. Building up occurs when your sins are being removed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It takes a free man, a free woman, to be able to go for what? Everlasting life. And what makes you free is what you walk in. What I'm emphasizing tonight is that when you don't cooperate with these things that is being said, your profiting will not appear. We can hear all these things, and then we don't give heed to them. We don't engage what as. That's not how to profit from it. As ministration is going on, your ears should be open. When I say your ears, it's not just your physical ears, your spiritual ears. God will be addressing things in your heart. Spirits will be coming to you. Instructions, corrections, leadings will be coming. Take heed to them. That is how to profit with them. God wants to raise men and women who will embody these things that we are talking about. And it is what your attitude towards it. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. How do you receive Christ Jesus? By teaching. They minister Christ to you. The Spirit of God comes also to come and teach you. You will hear Christ. After you have heard from the mouth of the preacher, you will hear him again. He will bring situations that will make you know what to do. What the law, which law applies to that situation. Law of Christ as against the carnal laws, law of sin and death that you have been using to settle those situations. So walk ye in him, yes. Rooted and built up in him. What you do? Rooted. And then what? But what brings about them being rooted and built up? Walking. Walking makes you rooted. And then what? Built up. Which means you will profit from Christ. He said, as ye have been taught. As ye have been what? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up. So there is a building up from the learning of Christ. It is that building. You know, the end of the law of Christ. We are seeing these things appear in our midst gradually. You see men who are fully taking Christ. How do you know them? Charity men. Charity men will arise in our midst. Charity men. Because the end of the law of Christ is what? Charity. Out of what? Because the truth that is in Christ purifies the soul. You will see pure men. God wants to see pure men. Pure men. How do you become pure? How do you become pure? See, you have obeyed the truth. You have purified your souls. In what? In obeying the truth. Which truth now? The truth that is in Jesus. The truth of Christ. For ye have not so learnt Christ, if so be that you have heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So there is a truth that is in where? So when you learn Christ and you don't come across the truth that is in him, you have just learnt letter. There is something that is in Jesus that they want to use to build us. It is building property, building material. Those are the things that Satan stole. The truth that God used to make man, that bread contains truth, information for living, was in Adam. Adam didn't need to be told not to slap his wife. There are laws that framed him. Nobody told him. God did not organize marriage seminar for Adam. Information of life was in that bread that was given to him. Information for living. He just knew that this is my wife, I should love her. That this is the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She must be loved. You know, you were teaching the men on that Wednesday. Adam didn't need that lesson. He knew it. But Satan stole it. God wants to restore it. And there are things he will use to restore it. There are things that framed up Christ that they need to transfer into us. And those properties, they are properties of a kind of life. When you yield to them, you will live. You will live. You acquire a level of life that will enable you to get to another level of life. When Christ, I say, God, I'm waiting. You see, you know what? There are some things that were going on in my mind. Those babas, faith towards God, there was something they held. Love. Their love work. We've not been able to beat it. We have not been able to beat it. They embodied it so much. There was one book that Kenneth Copeland wrote. My husband read it. Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous. When you read that from beginning to the end, it's love work. Those men became powerful because of that thing that God taught them. They gave themselves wholly to it. Honestly, you know, the panting of my heart is that we will rise by this location that is coming to us. Amen. We are rising already, but we will perfect it. Amen. Somebody was looking for Jerry Savelle. And the Spirit of God told that person, he said, go into that. He was in a supermarket. He said, go into that supermarket. Look up, you will see a light. Follow that light. That light stays, projects from the head of a man. Anybody you see that light projecting from his head, that's the man you're looking for. So he went into what we are handling is far, far higher than what they handled. So he went into the supermarket and looked over. He saw the light. He followed the direction of the light, followed it, and saw a man. That light, toti project. He said, this is the man you're looking for. And the Lord told him the reason he has that light on him. He said, because he walks in love. That was love in the allocation of milk. Now, the end of the law of Christ is charity out of a pure heart. God wants to see us embody this thing. Amen. Charity men all over the place. Men who cannot harm one another. Men who charity. Give me 1 Corinthians 13. This is describing a man. A man whose who has used the law of Christ to be purified unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. He says, see that you love one another fervently. It is this kind of man that will be calling for the incorruptible seed. Seeing you are purified, your souls. You see what Christ does. Purification takes place in the realm of Christ, allocation of Christ. Purifying our souls from what? From what? What are the impurities of the soul that Christ purifies? World. The world. Say you are purifying your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See, ensure that ye love one another with a pure heart. Without purifying the heart, you cannot love one another fervently. So it takes obeying truth, obeying Christ. That is the essence. You see, this purification is a raising, it's a building. It's a building. And what do they use to build us? The truth that is in Jesus. That we are exposed to. We obey it. We obey. We obey. We obey. And we are raised. We obey. And we are built. We obey. Sin is deleted. Hallelujah. We obey. We obey. We obey. We obey. We must obey. Amen. To embody, we must obey. We must do. We must do. We don't just mount Christ. You know those days, in the days of milk, Pastor, we had different types of people. Some people were there in the class of claiming and receiving. They were frivolous. They could say everything about faith, but they were not yielding to the discipline of the Holy Ghost. They didn't amount to anything. Their faith fizzled away. They couldn't come to the... They couldn't rise. They're just Christians. Later, you know them. Only you, eh? And they will still be confessing faith. My God can do it. My God can... You see, people have neighbors. Faith towards God. Milk will teach you not to fight with your neighbor. You see, believers have neighbors because they were not exposed to the right things, correct milk. I know my God. I know my God. My God. They will even be singing only Ote, gospel song against their neighbor. They didn't take milk. It's either they were never exposed to correct milk or they never yielded to it. Somebody was telling me about their neighbor. The neighbor was doing some funny things. So she now went and pulled out their tap that connected water to the neighbors. I said, Christiani, and these people are Muslims. I said, no, Christians don't behave like this. Say, no, if you are, you don't know people, if they want to take you for granted. I said, what? For granted? No, that milk should take care of that. Repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works should take care of that. Kualamaja, why your neighbor be? What is he called? Muslim. I say, how do you minister to them? How do you get them converted? How? Those were not things we learned. In repentance from dead, but not in Kowa, Christian, Holy Ghost self will not let you rest. When you do such a thing, you go back to your room, you will be sweating, you will be panting until you go back and correct it and even apologize to them. Holy Ghost will not leave you because Holy Ghost was in that allocation. He was in charge of that allocation. God wants us to be thorough. From beginning to the end, not faulty building. You don't build anything solid on something that is nothing. So Christ is the foundation for everlasting life. Christ is the Bible says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When you come to salvation, you are talking of everlasting life. Christ enables you to take everlasting life. Because everlasting life also has his ways, has his judgments, has his what? His commandments. So if you are obeying Christ makes you ready to take something higher. This is what every man on earth, everybody who is born again, everyone, there is a mandate on us to come for everlasting life. It is an allocation of God for us, and it is not optional. It is the sealing life. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the sealing life. God wants to give us, you know, the thought of, it may even makes me look at God in a particular way. The thought of what God is offering to man, his very life. What kind of God is he? What kind of God is that? He even shows me the kind of God we are serving and how we ought to look like. Amen. Because the life of God, everlasting life, is what he's offering to us. The Bible calls it our inheritance. He said he has begotten us again unto what? Unto what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away. Reserved in heaven. So it's a heavenly thing. It's a heavenly life. It is reserved in heaven for us, and they are calling us to come and inherit it. Now, why everlasting life? Everlasting life is the image building life. Image building life. It also comes by ministration. It comes by the giving of substances that are incorruptible, that are undefiled, and that fades not away. Now, you need to have finished Christ, to have been raised and built up by obeying Christ, to be able to everlasting substances. You know why? A natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Everlasting life is the realm of foolishness of God. Is the realm of what? Foolishness of God. You know what? It will make you foolish. You know why? Because it is the life that converts you to become small. To become what?
Small.
To become little. You see, when I was looking at the picture, this lamb always excites me when I see, because that is our destination. That is our destiny. Lamb or day. He looks weak, but on him rest all the powers of heaven and earth. Everlasting life is the life of the little ones. And is given by ministrations. It is given by revelation of the things of God. Things that pertain to God. Because it is the life of God, it has content. Those contents, they call them righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. They will need to minister it to us. Now, it takes someone who has used the righteousness of Christ to live and has been raised by the righteousness of Christ to take everlasting righteousness. Because that righteousness of Christ conditions you to take another righteousness, a higher one. You must have used the other. We must use Christ. We must do Christ to be built, to be able to take higher judgments. Hallelujah. Because the realm of everlasting life is the realm of judgment. High judgment. Thinking pattern that is not man. That is not earthly. He's heavenly. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Those things, you know what they are meant for? They are meant to remove our things. You know we have our things. Kai, we have our things. Because the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So also the things of a man. You know our things, they are the things that framed us. They are the things that gave us our identity. Me, nite mi obi mocheri lelei. I know the agree. It's your thing. No grio. It's your thing. We were framed by those things. Loss of hell and death. It is these things that can handle them. Our formation. Things of God. Say, the things of a man knoweth no man. But what? Save the spirit of that man. What are your things? The things that made you you. Me, I don't take nonsense. I don't think that's you. They are your things. Our things. They have become one with us. They are the clothes that we wear. They framed us. Spontaneously. They come out so spontaneously. When they push you, your thing will come out. Your thing that makes you a subject of Satan. We serve Satan with our things. Because he put those things there so that we can be answerable to him. When God begins to reveal our things to us, a lot of them we cannot say it out to. There are some of my things that the Spirit of God will reveal. Even my husband, I can't share it with him. I bet pillow, let him repent. Under the pillow. God, this one is here. God, nobody must see. I hope nobody is seeing. Only your eyes are seeing. Only your eyes are seeing this thing. God knows our things. That is what they want to dismantle. By his things, they cannot be. Christ can wash you small. But you can go back. Because of your things that are still intact, that Christ cannot handle. Everlasting substances. And those are our things. They are shameful things. They are things of hell and of death. Satan walked it there. They made us up. Our things. I beg, Bonnie. Our things. Our things. And you know what? Before revelation comes of God's things, we glory in them. Bible says they glory in their shame. It takes revelation of God's things by the intervention of the high priest who is armed with substances, good things. He will bring good things and come and minister it to us. And then we begin to be ashamed of our things. We can pride in them. I don't have time for rubbish. What is that? We were taught to pride in them, to glory in them. We were tutored by spirits. Was it 2 years ago? It was my husband's birthday. I now wrote on my DP. I put his picture and I wrote there. Sister, thank you. Thank you for marrying me. So, one of my friends saw it. Say, Helen, kilo koyeno, what did you write there? Did you say, we said thank you for marrying? See, you are the one spoiling this man. How can you be writing such a thing? Thanking a man for marrying you. Who are you? Are you a nonsense? That you are thanking. Things. Thoughts of hell and of death. She was so angry. How can you be? You are the one spoiling this man. How can you be writing things like that? Do you know that in some quarters, that is very, very correct thoughts and judgment? You are laughing because your eyes have been enlightened. That is what they call corruption. Spirit taught men. Not to make you feel you are somebody above every other person. Saying thank you for marrying me is showing that you are weak and you are inferior. That you needed somebody's help to be married. That was not the original thought of man. Man never used to think like that. It is Satan, spirits. Satan himself was not like that. It was when he turned, he became corrupted. He corrupted his wisdom. His wisdom now became arrogant. Never bowing. I went somewhere with my auntie and we're talking, we're asking somebody a direction to somewhere. A doctor in the hospital, we're looking for someone. And when he said, good afternoon, sir. My auntie was looking at me. When we finished, I said, thank you, sir. When we went out, my auntie was so angry. Said, what do you mean? Why are you saying, sir, to that person? I said, no, it's normal now. Said, what is normal? You make yourself inferior to a person when you say, sir. In the beginning, it was not so. Man was not like that. Man was a bowing person. Man was full of honor for one another. Man was submitting one to another, preferring one another. So when I call you sir, it means that I'm inferior to you. Hey, why am I trying to be superior? It's because I'm honorable, so I'm giving honor to someone. I remember Baba Ezekiel those days. He was not under us. He, Baba, is going to Otta from Lagos. He will call us, Reverend K. I just said I should let you know I will be going to Otta next week. He's not answerable to us, but he's a man of honor. He will call, Reverend K. I just said I should let you know I'll be going to Otta next week. So when it is tomorrow, he will call, Reverend K. That Otta that I told you I'll be going next week, is tomorrow I'll be going. I'll be away for the weekend, just to let you know. Those are ancient values. Ancient honor. Somebody will say, am I under him? He's not under me. I'm not under him. Why should I be answerable? Honor. When he's going abroad, that one month notice. He'll call us, Reverend K, I just want you to know that next month I'll be going to Houston, America. Next month. When it is next week, Reverend K, that trip I told you about is next week, I'll be going. When it is tomorrow, Reverend K, tomorrow is the day. It looks like somebody who is submitting to you, Abby. Hey, no. That is honor. He has learned a higher conversation. He doesn't feel low. He doesn't feel under us. Telling us that, what will he lose if he doesn't tell me? But he has been framed by the laws of God. Say, I'm going to U.S. tomorrow. He has been announcing it 1 month. In the beginning, it was not so. It was not so in the beginning. Satan taught us a lifestyle of death that will make us die. You know, when you move with old men like that, you become wise. Ancient, he taught us a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. A lot. Things that civilization will say, why are you answerable to him? Why are you telling him that kind of a thing? It was not so. These things, you see, civilization, what will kill this evil that we call civilization is this life that God is teaching us. God will teach a people how to walk according to heavenly laws, because in the realm of heaven is the realm of honor. That's the realm of honor. Honor. When you see an heavenly man, they are always bowing. Honorable men. Because, Pastor, why? They are little men. They are little men. They are little men. They don't see themselves as anything. They are little men. What makes them little? Things. Things. You see, these things of God, they are the things, the substances that frame God. When God says, learn of me. When Jesus says, learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart. There are substances, there are things that made him so. There are things that fabricated the meek and the lowly man. They are things of God, everlasting substances. They call them things, good things. Good things to come. Which the high priest is administering in our days. Why is he doing these things? He wants to see men that would look exactly like him. Looking like God is not by shining your face, it's by receiving things. Things, substances that you will walk in, you will walk in, you will walk in. Hallelujah. Things you will obey. You can't obey everlasting laws. Righteousness, if you have not obeyed Christ's righteousness.
I'm showing you even the conversations, even conversations of my life, even conversations that can be pressed out of my life, even conversations that are incorruptible, even conversations of the high life of salvation. Yeah, I'm also talking to you. I'm also talking to you. I'm also painting impressions even in your heart. For I am walking even amongst you, painting impressions, painting impressions, bringing corrections. Yeah, showing you what you should have done, even in certain circumstances, even in time past. For I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have gone in that direction. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have behaved in that manner. For I am raising even the atmosphere of my heart, even the atmosphere of my kind of heart, even incorruptible heart, even undefiled heart, even heart from which the conversation of salvation streams out, that you might make adjustment, that you might make adjustment, that you might see even righteous standards that are everlasting in temper, that are everlasting in strength. went. Yeah, even ways of anciency, ways of ancient men, ways of men of everlasting life, that you also might come up, that you might come up. Lend my heart, lend my heart, lend my heart. Be like me, do like me, live like me. Yeah, live above the corruption, even the right standings of men that has held man down, that has kept man in corruption, even in your days. Do righteousness after the everlasting manner, and see me show myself even real in your day, even real in your vessel, even real upon you. Righteousness, 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 even everlasting righteousness is what I'm calling for.
Hallelujah. We cannot attain this life except they bring substances for the life. The life has its things. It's called everlasting righteousness. The Father committed it to Jesus. And the one thing he did was that he did it. He obeyed it. Everything the Father, he said, the Father loved the Son, that he committed all judgments. Judgment, realm of everlasting life is the realm of judgments. High judgments. My ways are not your ways. If God shows you ways, at times you almost faint. I'm telling you, he can even somewhere. We are wicked somewhere because of our ways and our thoughts. So when they want to save us, they bring ways and thoughts that are higher than us. And God wants you to, when he shows you his way, he wants you to embrace it and walk in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I said, this thing, as they are giving us things, these things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered. They are things of God. They are the things that make for the life of God. Hallelujah. They are the things that make for the image of God, the stature of God, which is meant to build us up. So as they remove our things, everlasting life, thus removing, it will cut down and it will build. They remove those things by us engaging what is revealed. No, before then, give me, if the ministration of death, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more than the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The righteousness here is everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. So it ministers glory. Amen. How does it minister glory? It's not when you hear it, when you engage it. Righteousness is meant for doing. Righteousness is meant for obeying, for yielding. You yield your members, instruments of what? Of righteousness. For even that, no, if the ministration of condemnation, there's ministration of death, there's ministration of condemnation. For if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Yes. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Ministration of the Spirit here is ministration of the way. It's ministration of the law of everlasting life. Spirit there is way, is laws of everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And ways are meant to be walked in. Laws are meant to be obeyed. So when they minister those things, they demand something from us. They place demand on us. It's glorious when you yield to everlasting righteousness. It's glorious. Is that the only way to make a man glorious? Obeying, doing everlasting righteousness. Doing righteousness is meant to be obeyed. Yes, the next one quickly. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more than the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. Yes, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory which excelleth. This is the glory that excelled. It excelled the glory of Moses. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. For it that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Everlasting life remaineth. Is the life that remaineth. Yes. Seeing then that we have such hope. What is the hope? Glory. 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 You see, glory does not rest on something that is not built. They don't glorify something that is not raised. Hallelujah. So this righteousness, they are meant for our raising. They are substances that when you do, it becomes part, it forms part of your building, part of your structure. Eh? God is waiting for men, you and I, to, you know, one ambition, I was telling them some Sundays ago, my ambition for the rest of my life now is how I can embody everlasting life. I want to be a witness on this side of eternity. Say, that woman, that's a witness of everlasting life. I don't know which ambition you have. Oh. You want to be the CEO of the world. Me, I want to be an everlasting woman. So I'm ready to engage doctrine. I'm ready to engage laws of everlasting life. Nobody should have any other ambition apart from this one. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. He said these things are reserved in heaven for you. You have to be passionate about it. To become it. Give me 2 Corinthians that we're reading, chapter 3. Yes, the next one. Yes. Seeing then that we have such a, we use clear plainness of speech. Yes. Continue. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Yes. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Yes. But even after, unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Yes. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Yes. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Liberty there, setting free. Setting free by the Spirit of the Lord. Setting free. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You see, that change is your building. That change is what? Your rising. That change is the breaking down, removal of your things to be replaced by their things, by the ministration of everlasting righteousness. When you don't change when you don't engage it. You don't change when you don't obey it. You obey it, then you change. You obey. You obey. He said, give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you should let them what? Sleep. How do you give heed to the things which you have heard? How do you give heed? You keep it. You obey it. When you don't obey it, it will sleep. The force with which it came the first time, it will diminish. I can't faint. Later, you just, you know when that ministration was going on, the Lord just said something to my spirit. It will not become a light thing in your mouth. You just, how long this sucking it off me by your hand? The force is no longer there. When they minister to you, Nibu Bono, keep it. You know what I do? Because I don't want it to sleep. When something, and I know it's higher than the way I'm thinking at that time, I will tell my husband. I don't want it to sleep. He will not be the one supervising my obedience. When he sees me, God says, I should be one of those long suffering. I don't want to go. I didn't want it to go. Oh, come and blow it up in the air. Say, God told me this. When people see me going against, say, ah, mommy, then talk. But long suffering will buy you. I don't want it to sleep. You have to be deliberate about things that you hear. Look, when ministration like this is going on, God is, you are hearing something. God is ministering something to you. He's reminding you of that wrong step you took. He's reminding you of a situation that is at hand now and telling you how you should have done it or what you should do, how you should go and correct it, whether you should go and apologize in you. You are hearing it. Don't let it sleep. If you wait till next year, the force will no longer be there. Amen. We are changed. Change. God is looking for change. The reason for this meeting is for us to change. It's to acquire another image. By reason of righteousness that is being ministered, acquire another image. Take the laws that are coming to you. Obey them. Use it to change. Use it to become a more submissive wife. Use it to become a more loving husband. Use it to become a more submissive and easily entreated church member. Use it. It is mandatory that man should become everlasting. He said, he that overcometh, to overcome is to finish everlasting life. To overcome, you overcome the life of Satan. That hell and death that they used to frame us. You detonate it, finish it, and inherit everlasting life. And Jesus said, I will give them the morning star. It's for overcomers. It's for overcomers. It's for people who finished everlasting life. They finished it and then they give them the promise, reward, the capping. But you have to overcome. You have to do righteousness, everlasting righteousness. You have to flush out all the life of Satan, life of hell and death. So it's not optional. It is mandatory. It is the calling of every man to come and receive the morning star. Every man is our calling to come and receive the morning star. I told you that it's only stars. That we talk about stars. Begin to thank him. Don't worry. Plenty of morning stars will come tomorrow. But you know what? Some of us, you know, I talk to people. Those of us who sit down under the same ministration, I talk to a lot of people. I know that we are at different levels. Some of us are just still struggling with Christ. Some of us, I've not finished milk. When some people talk some things, you feel like jumping out of your skin. So we are at different levels. Know your level and give attention to what God is. Under the ministration of everlasting life, God will be teaching some people milk. God will be teaching some people Christ. Know your level. Don't come and be talking as if you are the level of a morning star. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's thank him tonight. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. I know things have been deposited in us. I know we are ready to engage laws at different levels. Laws of Christ. Some of us, repentance from dead works is still our challenge. Repentance from dead works. Some of us are still having troubles with our neighbors. You are going somewhere. You are being called to come and inherit God's life. Be quick to come out of that state. Engage doctrine. Engage teachings. Submit to the tutorship and the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life per time to overcome things. Be ambitious. Be ambitious to be spiritual. Be ambitious to be a charity man. Charity man. Ha ha. Charity man. Let that be your ambition.
We We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadee by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.